Our Bible reading this morning is from Psalm 90. It's on page 588 if you're using one of our Bibles. Some Psalms are written by David and others by Asaph, but this one's written by Moses. Psalm 90 from verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man." For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favour of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you, Sean.
Good morning, everyone. Give me a minute while I move this. Excellent. Well, very frosty morning to you. I hope you've made it here warmly, wore your gloves and all the appropriate scarf wear. But I wonder, as you were heading to your cars, you made your way into church, as you breathed out the frosty air that came out of your mouth, did you ever stop to think, what is the point of this misty air? Does this misty breath have meaning behind it? I take it you didn't. That'd be quite strange if you did. But I ask this because why is that different for us? What makes us ask why our life has meaning when in some ways we are like that breath of air? We're here one moment and gone the next. So why is it that we cling and hope for a thing of meaning and purpose in life? What is it that would give that to us? This might be the most important question to ever address and to consider and to think about. Because unlike questions that think about whether I can be successful or happy, this is a question that goes deeper into our purpose, into our existence. And yet, how is it that we can find meaning and purpose if we are as fleeting as a breath? Well, this is the age-old question that we wrestle with this morning. And it's a question that Moses wrestles with too. He's the author of this psalm, as Martin read for us. And so let's understand, let's see how Moses understands life in light of its fleeting nature. So do keep your Bibles open as we are continuing in our series on the songs of the King. But really this morning I want us to see how Moses and the Lord is teaching us three crucial truths about our lives. That is, we have to face the reality of our mortality. We'll think about how we can find God's wisdom to find meaning. And thirdly, discovering and thinking through how the gospel transforms our days from a meaningless toil to something of eternal significance. That is the three points we'll look at: the problem of mortality, the prayer for wisdom, and the power of the gospel. So first, we have to really face our mortality. That's the reality that we all step into. So follow with me in verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Moses starts with what he knows to be true, that we know to be true, that God is a safe house. He is our safe house. He is our hiding place. He is our security. From everlasting to everlasting, he is our God. But that's not surprising. Moses should know that. He's seen how God has saved him time and time again. But notice, how long has God been their dwelling place? That's what's astounding. That in all the generations that he has always been their shelter. Which tells us then, if we want to find meaning, if we want to understand a purpose that we've been made for, well, we can't look to ourselves. We can't look to our achievements. Why? Well, simply because we are not everlasting. Because verse 3 to 6, you return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it passed. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. And in the evening it fades and it withers. We know that to be true, don't we? We are fragile. We are fleeting. Especially compared to the everlasting, eternal God who has existed from the beginning of time. And we feel it. But why is this life so short? It's not natural. Our hearts know it to be true. We want not to die. We know there's something wrong with the world. It's not how it should be. And so we grieve. We rightly grieve death and suffering because it is unfair and it is sad. It's not the way the world should be, and we know it. We feel it in our bones when we see our friends and family pass away. This is not Mother Nature that takes them away. But do you see in the psalm why life is so short? Because verse 7. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. For all of our days pass under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? Do you see why life is short? It is short because God is punishing the world for sin. It is God's wrath upon sinful humanity. It is a result of the curse that fell on Adam and Eve and indeed all of humanity in Genesis 3. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, they rejected God's rule and his reign, and sin and its terrible corruptive effects spread throughout all humanity. So when we see death, when we see suffering, that's a real reminder that we are living in a broken, tainted world. Death is the visible expression of God's anger and wrath from a holy, holy God. Death is unnatural. No matter how we accustom ourselves, no matter how we paint the picture, it is unnatural because it is God's judgment on the world. That's what Moses painstakingly shows us, doesn't he? Have a look again in verse 8. Look at what Moses comments God as seeing. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. Do you see what Moses laments when he considers his end? It's his sin. And it's not just Adam and Eve. It is indeed true for all of us. Because we too have rejected God as the ruler of the world. We've placed ourselves on top of it. And so there's little wonder why we feel so lost and so meaningless. Why we feel life as being so meaningless. Because we were made to live with God, to be together with God, not in rebellion. Moses, alongside Israel, alongside us, we have to grasp the intensity of God's righteous anger and live in a proper, reverent fear of our Lord. Why is that important? Because it's only if we understand our mortality that we can recognize the grace that God gives us. As we come to terms with our sinfulness and our mortality, actually we realize that we need to find meaning outside of us. We need to find meaning and purpose from the one who lasts for all eternity. And in the pit of despair, where we feel the pains and burdens of those around us suffering and dying, where do we turn to? Who can we depend on but the God who has always been there? We've seen the problem that mortality exposes us and our desperate need for something beyond us. It's a hope that lies beyond our human lives. And Moses shows us then. He turns to what he finds is the solution. And it is in God. And so we see in our next point, the prayer for wisdom. Because what is Moses' response in light of humans' tragic, fleeting life? Verse 12. So, teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. See, faced with the sobering reality of our mortality, the reality of God's righteous judgment falling upon sinful humanity, what is his response? Well, it's not despair. He doesn't retreat into nothingness. He doesn't give up on life. But he turns to the very God whose wrath he knows he has incurred. You know, this is the pattern of biblical faith. He's acknowledging the severity of our condition, but it drives him to seek godly wisdom, not away from God. Moses asked God to teach God's people to number their days, it says. But this isn't a number your days because God's going to get you, or kind of a threat that God is giving out. Well, neither is it that he's asking Israel to number them and count how long they're going to live. We can't know that. But rather, it's about grasping every day as a gift from God to use and to treat wisely so that you might get a heart of wisdom. So we need to think about, what is this heart of wisdom? Where do we find this wisdom that Moses speaks of? Well, in this psalm, in the Old Testament, it points us forward to its full and final fulfillment. Because as New Covenant believers, we're not just individuals randomly looking around for meaning. We are God's covenantal people. We are people who the Lord God has given promises to. And so our mortality then is transformed not into our individual lives, but as a body, as a church. That is the spiritual house that endures forever. And so when we read the New Testament, when we see in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says this, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So when we think about the prayer of Moses, we find its answer fully revealed in the person and work of the Lord Jesus. Christ is the wisdom of God. Christ is the heart of wisdom, for he is wisdom itself. And so when we have to understand who Jesus is, because it's only through Jesus that the petitions of Moses, these cries of Moses, become ours. You see, Jesus answers the anxieties and the stresses of Psalm 90 because he entered into it to free us from it. He answers the longings of our souls by showing us the answer to the problem of mortality. In our brief life, we lament over our fleeting lives. As we see more and more of our friends and family pass away, it is a continued reminder that God is punishing sin. And I don't want us to think about that, because I don't want us to ignore this reality. Because if we ignore this reality, we are indeed wasting our lives. The greatest tragedy, I think, is that the fear of death doesn't lead people to repentance, but leads them further into idolatry. Because we are deluded into thinking that death won't catch us. We're deluded into thinking that, well, we can think about these God things later. We don't need to think about our end of life. We're deluded into thinking that our work, our careers, our families, our relationships, our social status, that these things are more important, more meaningful than the imminent threat of death. The psalm says, sober up, be shaken and be roused. Death awaits all of us. And there is a better answer to all of those things. An answer that our souls long and know to be true, an eternity with the eternal. That is the answer to our mortality. And we find it fully answered in the Lord Jesus. Because he calls us back to the dwelling place of God. To repent of sin, to repent from our rejection and from running from the dwelling place of God. And to come under his reign and his rule. To believe and to trust in the Lord Jesus. That's what Moses is calling us to. Because remember who the Lord Jesus is. He is the one who more than considered the wrath of God. But he took it upon himself. So that you and I could be right with him. The curse of sin and its effects of death are now no more. And so hear this call to come back to him. Because in Jesus we find our hope. We found the solution to death. We find our Savior. See, the reason I think we feel like we're missing out in life, we feel like our purposes have gone astray, it's because we've not understood who we are and what we are made to do. We are made to walk in fellowship and enjoyment with God our Father. It is in God all our longings are satisfied. And so Moses says, learn to number our days. Learn to pursue his righteous kingdom. We are to count the days that we have left to use wisely, to spend every moment knowing him, growing in him, trusting him. And that leaves us asking, where do we often find ourselves looking for wisdom? Is that where we look to? Is that how we consider our short lives in light of the gospel? And if this is something you've never thought about yourself, if you never thought about the good news of eternity to a world that is dying, well, I want to encourage you to really consider the reality of death. Does eternity await for you with the Father, or will you be condemned and judged for your sins? I challenge you to think about that yourself. And for those who don't know you, and for those outside here, to come along to the Christianity Explore course, because we really believe that this is something you need to have an answer to. There is no weightier topic than knowing your eternal destiny. Because it's only in light of the gospel that Jesus saves sinners from sin and death. It's only in light in God's Spirit working and changing in us that we can really truly understand these petitions that come. So let's then look at the rest of this psalm as we consider the power of the gospel through the lens of what the Lord Jesus has done. So that's our third point, the power of the gospel. How do we rightly respond to the gospel? How do we rightly respond to what Jesus has done in light of our mortality? Well, I think firstly we need to learn to lament, not despair. Listen to Moses' prayer. Look at verse 13. He says, "Return, O Lord. How long? Have pity on your servants." Notice what Moses does after describing God's terrifying wrath. Does he run away? No, again, he's turning to the very God whose anger he's described. He's not complaining about life being troublesome, about being hard and difficult. Because remember who he is. Moses is a mediator of God's people, and he's crying out for God to return to them. And this is assuming that God's withdrawn his presence because of their sin. But what Moses believes and is holding on to is the covenantal love that God has for his people, that that love might be deeper than his righteous anger. And if you recall the story of Exodus, Moses knew and he felt this pain clearly. Yet he knew only God could answer this problem. And don't we still feel the effects of sin and suffering today? And so then it is right for us not to complain, but to lament. Because lamenting brings our pain to God so that our faith and our trust is built up in him. But despair turns us away from God. And it concludes that God doesn't care. It concludes that God has abandoned us. Lamenting trusts in God's goodness even through suffering unimaginable. But despair questions whether God is good. Lamenting seeks to renew our faith and hope in God and the work of Jesus, but despair leads us to hopelessness and withdrawal. So when we face loss, when we face our sadness and trials, we can bring that emotion to our Father in heaven. We can come to him in prayer and not stuff them down and suppress them as if God doesn't care. Because he does. He longs for us to come to him, to lament him, because we know that in Jesus all things will be made right. And yet for now, we lament. We cry out, "How long, O Lord? How long till you return?" And what a joy it is to hear those words from 1 Corinthians 15. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't stop there. We lament, we bring our distresses, our cries to the Lord. But secondly, we then seek satisfaction in Him. This is the second petition that we see in verse 14 to 15. How are we to respond rightly to the gospel in light of our mortality? We lament our mortality, but we are also satisfied, seek satisfaction in Him. So follow with me in verse 14. He says, "Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil." So instead of wasting and passing our days under God's wrath, in Christ Jesus, our soul's longings are satisfied. In Christ, we may count our days not under fear of judgment, but in joy and gladness. Are we satisfied in His love? Are we still longing for something to satisfy us? When we wake up in the mornings, do we reach for the phone, for the papers, for our emails, for our task lists, the things that might make us feel satisfied about our day, our life, our problems in life? Or do we come to our Father? Do we come to the Word of God in prayer and worship, asking that this very prayer to be true in our lives, that God would satisfy us with His steadfast and unwavering love? Are we content with our life, or are we still longing? Are there things that we wish, if only I had that, then it would be enough? It's hard to notice, just thinking out loud, like, do I ask this question or not? But I think it rears its head, particularly when we look around the room to our peers, and to those we've studied with, and ask questions like, well, if only I was married. If only I had kids. If only I had kids like that. If only I could lose these extra pounds or kilograms. If only I could have closer friendship circles. If only. If only. These are the kind of questions that spur in us this longing that we are not satisfied. There's still something that we want to be content. And yet we know deep down that all of those things will not satisfy our eternal longings. Our longings to be known, to be treasured, to be valued, to be heard, to be known, to be loved. We won't find those things there. We only find it in the steadfast and unmovable love that the Father gives us. Only the steadfast love of our God shown through Christ Jesus on the cross, that is steadfast love. A love that would send His only Son to the cross. A love that would welcome sinners back to His dwelling place. What is it that we need? What is it that's going to satisfy our soul's longings, our children's longings? But the love of God in Christ Jesus. Only then may we be truly glad and satisfied in these days of affliction. And finally, then, we are to continue to pursue, continue to work for the everlasting and the eternal. Not in vain. Let's finish off in verse 16 to 17. "Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. So what is it that this work that Moses wants the servants and his children to see? Well, throughout the Old Testament, we know how God has continually kept His promises to Israel. We've seen how He continues to deliver them. He saves them. They reject Him. They rebel. He saves them. They reject Him. They rebel. He saves them. We see that over and over again, don't we? And that continues today. Because what we see in Christ is the astounding good news that he doesn't just witness it, but the Lord Jesus invites us to take part in it. You recall some months ago in Matthew 28, when Jesus commissions his disciples in Matthew 28, he says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." What we see here is the risen Lord Jesus, he's ruling his people, but he gives them the authority to do this work. And so as we read in 1 Corinthians again, we are called to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. So you put them together. Why is it that the work of our hands will be everlasting and not in vain? If we are like a mist, well, it's because we've been given an authority beyond ourselves, an authority that was given to Christ, that is given to us to build God's kingdom. The people of God building into Christ, and that lasts eternal. This is a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and so persevere. Continue to grow in your godliness and love for the Lord. Continue to grow in your holiness and sharing the good news. So that as we share and show the work of the Lord, we are partaking in it. Let me sum up where we've been. We've looked at the problem of mortality. That we are dust and we will return to dust. Our lives are brutally short because of God's judgment of sin. We've looked at the prayer of wisdom to turn to God, to learn how to number our days in light of our mortality. And we've seen how the power of God transforms our meaningless days into something of eternal significance. So let's come back to that question we posed at the start. Where do we find meaning in life? Well, we find meaning eternally in the everlasting Father's hand, lamenting our frailty, seeking satisfaction in his love, and rejoicing in the work that he does through us. Let's pray together and ask that to be true of us. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you as our everlasting Father, our dwelling place, our safety in times of trouble. And we thank you for the great blessing it is to know you and to be known. What a gracious gift of grace you've given to us in your Son Jesus. Even though we wanted nothing to do with you, even though we feel this pain of mortality and loss, we praise you that in Christ Jesus we know all things will be made new. Lord, we look to your Son Jesus, who is the very picture, the very wisdom itself that we need. And Lord, how we long for his return. Help us to lament truly that we may draw closer to you. Help us to be satisfied in your steadfast love. Help us to be glad for the days in which you give us. So Lord, we ask that the favor of the Lord be upon us and that you would establish the work of our hands. And this we know only to be true in Christ Jesus. So we pray this in his name. Amen.